asleep. I keep my magic in my heart. Keep up your spirit, keep up your faith, baby.
Welcome to Fight the Good Fight, a production of Freedom Force Florida. And now your hosts, Michael Williams and Tabitha Brown.
Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're looking at this proposed law in Florida, the Elderly Inmate Release Act.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of research to go through today.
We do.
We've got analyses of the elderly inmate population in Florida, some reports on like the challenges and trends they represent, and the text of the act itself.
Yeah, it's a big issue, and it's not just about releasing inmates, right? It's about how Florida handles its aging prison population, the costs involved, and what justice really means when you have people spending decades behind bars.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I guess to set the scene, maybe we can rewind a little bit.
Okay.
Florida abolished parole back in 1983, so that means that life sentences are really life sentences.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone at the time thought, oh, this is going to create a huge elderly inmate population, but...
Yeah, well, that's what happened.
There we are.
Unintended consequences. And now you have people like Randolph Baggett and Freedom Force Florida pushing for this act as a potential solution.
Right. And they're saying that, you know, it's not just this financial issue with the cost of caring for all these elderly inmates going up, but it's also an ethical issue of, you know, keeping people locked up as their health deteriorates.
Yeah. But to understand this action, you gotta understand that it's not just this blanket release program.
Right.
There's very specific criteria about who can even petition the court.
So let's break that down.
Okay.
So to even be eligible,
yeah,
you have to be at least 50 years old.
Right.
Yeah. You have to have served at least 10 years of your sentence. But you also have to have at least another 10 years remaining.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this weird balance of...
It is. It's not just about age. It's time served and time left.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if you meet those requirements, you still have to convince a judge that you've been rehabilitated and you don't pose a threat to society.
Right. So there's a whole hearing process where you have to like present evidence and make arguments. And
both sides make their case. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately the judge decides grant or deny.
Right. And even if they grant the motion, release is not immediate.
Oh, okay.
It's within 18 months, but with at least 3 years probation.
Oh, wow.
So they're easing them back in. It's not just, okay, you're free to go.
What happens if it gets denied?
You can't appeal that specific ruling.
Okay.
But you can reapply every 5 years.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So there's at least the option down the line to make your case again.
Yeah. So it's not just like a one and done.
Right, right.
Kind of thing.
And this is important.
Mm-hmm.
This would be retroactive,
right,
meaning it would apply to current inmates who meet the criteria, not just people who are sentenced after it passes.
Right. So it could really change a lot of things for a lot of people.
It's potentially a big deal.
Yeah. To understand kind of the scale of this, we have to look at the numbers.
Okay.
The elderly inmate population in Florida has just exploded.
It's exploded is right. 360% increase since 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It is huge. And way faster than the overall prison population.
It's like all those policies, you know, from like the 80s and 90s, sentencing guidelines, mandatory minimums.
Yeah.
It's like now we're seeing that ripple effect.
Right. For nonviolent offenses, too.
Yeah. And
that makes sense.
Florida's got those stricter parole policies.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we talked about earlier.
Right. So it's this perfect storm situation.
It is. It's a challenge for the prison system, too.
So, like, managing a prison's hard enough.
Right.
But now you have all these people who need specialized care, specialized resources.
Well, it gets complicated fast.
Yeah. So let's get into those complications then.
Okay.
Like, what kind of health care challenges are we talking about with this elderly inmate population?
Well, think about, like, the normal stuff that happens as people age. Heart disease, diabetes, arthritis.
Right.
Now imagine trying to manage that and more in a prison.
Yeah.
It's not just medication. It's special care.
Right.
Diets, therapy.
And it's not just physical health. Right.
No, you're right.
Mental health too.
Big time. Depression, anxiety, even dementia becomes more common as they age.
Wow.
So now you're layering that on top of the physical health stuff.
And that care is not cheap.
No, it's not. 5 times more for medical care for inmates over 50 compared to younger inmates. And 14 times more for prescription drugs.
That's crazy.
It's a lot. $11,200 to over $25,000 per year, depending on their health.
Per inmate.
Per inmate, yeah.
Wow.
So, like, and taxpayers are footing that bill.
Is this even sustainable?
That's the question, right? Can the system handle these rising costs?
Right. And I mean, it sounds like the people who are for this Elderly Inmate Release Act are saying, hey, this is one way to like...
free up some resources.
Yeah, free up some resources.
Maybe improve care for the people who are still there.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, so Florida's got this like huge problem, rising costs, all these care needs. I mean,
yeah.
They must be doing something to like try and manage it right.
They are. They've got a few things they're trying. One is these geriatric care units within some prisons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like specialized units.
Yeah, more equipped to handle the needs of elderly inmates.
What do those look like?
So they'll have staff trained in geriatric care. They'll often be a more controlled environment.
Okay.
You know, trying to concentrate resources and expertise.
And then what else?
They've got a range of medical services offered, like routine checkups, chronic disease management, specialized treatments.
Okay.
Mental health services too. Counseling, medication management.
I assume they still have rehab programs.
Yeah.
But are those like... tailored?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For elderly inmates, they might focus more on education, vocational skills, life skills.
Right. They're going to be
re-entering society.
They're going to need help.
Big time. They've got some release planning and re-entry services to try and make that transition smoother. But, you know,
there's always room for improvement. There's
always room for improvement. Right.
And this Elderly Inmate Release Act seems like it's kind of a big piece of that puzzle.
It is. It is.
Like we're having this conversation about what is justice? What is punishment? You know,
big questions.
Especially when people are aging in the system.
It's a conversation that needs to happen though, right?
Yeah.
Makes us think about these long-term consequences of sentencing policies. Maybe there's a better way, a more humane way.
Yeah, for sure.
A more cost-effective way.
Yeah, absolutely. So it feels like we're kind of at this crossroads, right? We've got this aging inmate population, costs are going up, the system's trying to adapt, and then you have this act, and some people are saying, hey, this is the answer, and other people are saying, whoa, this is dangerous.
And it's controversial, for sure.
Yeah.
Valid arguments on both sides. It's not as easy as just saying, let everyone over 50 out, you know,
or
keep everybody locked up no matter what.
It's more nuanced.
Way more nuanced.
So let's talk about those arguments then. People who support this act, we talked about the potential for cost savings. Are there any, like, hard numbers?
Oh, yeah. Some analyses say releasing even just 10% of eligible elderly inmates could save the state $50 million a year.
Whoa.
Yeah, at least. And that's just the direct healthcare costs.
Right.
Think about staffing, security, infrastructure.
You could use that money for other stuff.
Exactly. Rehab programs for younger inmates, community initiatives to prevent crime.
Right.
It's about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Where do those resources have the most impact?
And people who support the act say it's not just about saving money.
Right.
It's about
justice.
Right.
It's about effectiveness.
More just and effective system.
Exactly.
Okay. They also say that elderly inmates, like especially those over 60, they have much lower recidivism rates.
Way lower.
So they're less likely to reoffend. So is the public safety risk really that high?
That's a key point, right? They're saying these folks have been locked up for decades.
Right.
They're not a threat anymore.
Like they've aged out of crime.
Basically, yeah.
But what about the ones who do reoffend? Like even one case could be used to say, see, this whole act's a bad idea.
Sure. And they acknowledge that. There will always be exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't base policy on outlier cases.
Okay.
You got to look at the data.
Right. The overall trend.
Exactly.
It sounds like they're trying to balance compassion with accountability.
Right.
People can change, but public safety is also important.
It's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
That's why the act has all those safeguards.
Right. The criteria, the hearings, the probation.
Yeah. It's not just open the doors and let everyone out.
It's a process.
It's a process for a reason.
But I mean, there's got to be pushback.
Yeah.
Right. From people who are just like, no, public safety first.
Absolutely. Opponents say any inmate release is risky, period.
Right.
They might point to cases where someone got out and then committed another crime, even if they were elderly.
And I imagine for victims of crime,
right,
their families,
mm-hmm.
it must be really hard to hear, oh, the person who hurt you is getting out.
Oh, absolutely. And supporters get that. They approach it very carefully. They acknowledge the pain, the trauma that victims have experienced.
So it's not about forgetting what happened.
No, not at all. It's about recognizing that people can change, that at some point continued incarceration might not be necessary.
Like it's not helping anymore.
Right, right. It's more about restoration than just punishment.
Yeah. Okay, but opponents also have these practical concerns about, like, the whole reintegration process.
Yeah.
They say even if someone's deemed rehabilitated, low risk, it's still super hard to come back to society after decades.
It is. Think about it. It's like they've been living on another planet.
Right.
No job skills. Family's gone, maybe. They're dealing with health problems.
Right.
Can they even handle it mentally and emotionally?
And there's probably trauma from being incarcerated, too.
Oh, absolutely. And supporters acknowledge that. They say we need good reentry programs.
Right. Like this act could free up money to invest in those programs.
We can help these folks succeed.
It's not just about getting out of prison. It's about, like, what happens next?
Opportunity, housing, counseling.
A whole new life.
A fresh start.
Yeah. Okay. But even if we say, okay, people can change, they can reintegrate. Mm-hmm. How do you measure that?
Right.
How can a judge actually say, okay, this person's rehabilitated?
That's the million-dollar question. It's a huge challenge, right? It's a lot of judgment from the court.
So it's subjective.
Yeah, which worries people. There's no perfect formula.
There's always a risk.
Always a risk. And that's where people get really passionate on both sides.
It's like values clashing priorities.
What do we want from our justice system?
It seems like this act, even if it doesn't pass, it's making us talk about this issue.
It is. It is. How do we deal with this growing elderly inmate population?
Right.
It's about aging. It's about justice. It's about punishment.
And redemption.
And redemption, yeah.
Yeah.
We need to have these conversations.
We've talked a lot about this specific act.
We have.
But even if this doesn't go through, this problem isn't going away.
No, it's not. The population keeps getting older.
So what else should Florida be doing?
Well, one thing is healthcare in the prisons. We've talked about costs, but it's also facilities, staff training, a more holistic approach to care.
So both physical and mental health.
Exactly.
With, like, remembering that these are people.
They are.
They deserve healthcare.
They do.
And beyond healthcare, we have to think about programs, services that help them, I don't know.
Thrive, yeah.
Thrive, yeah. Like, they're going to come out and it's a different world.
Totally different world.
So what about cognitive stimulation?
Yes.
Physical activity for older adults?
Uh-huh.
Social interaction?
All of that. It helps them mentally, physically, socially.
Even while they're incarcerated.
Right. Even in prison. People need connection. They need purpose. They need dignity.
And then for the people who do get released, what do they need to actually make it on the outside?
Re-entry services are key, but they got to be really good.
Okay, so not just the basics?
No, we're talking housing, healthcare, mental health services, job training.
Tailored to them.
Exactly.
Like a whole different way of thinking about elderly inmates.
It is, both inside and outside prison.
It takes a lot of people working together.
It does. Prison system, community organizations, healthcare providers, employers.
Is this even possible?
It is. There are states and countries doing amazing stuff with elderly offenders.
Really?
Yeah, they're focusing on restorative justice, reintegration.
Interesting.
And it's working. Lower recidivism rates, better well-being for everyone.
But Florida could learn from them.
Absolutely. They can adapt those ideas.
This has been so interesting.
It has.
It feels like we just, like, scratched the surface.
It's a complex issue, right?
Yeah. But I think we've unpacked a lot.
We have. We looked at the history, the data, the arguments for and against the act.
And, like, the bigger picture stuff?
The big picture, yeah. Things we got to think about regardless of this specific law.
I think this act, whether it passes or not, it's really forcing this important conversation.
It is. How do we handle this aging prison population?
We got to remember, these are people.
They are.
With rights.
Yes.
They deserve to be treated with dignity.
Absolutely.
No matter how old they are.
No matter what they did.
No matter what they did.
It's about being human.
So what do we want our listeners to walk away with?
I want them to understand how complex this is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no easy answer.
Yeah.
It's about benefits and risks, but it's also about people.
We've given them the information.
The facts, the arguments, the challenges.
Now they have to decide.
Exactly. What do they think? What's important to them?
We've given them the tools.
Use them.
This is so much bigger than just this one law, right?
It is.
It's like, how do we as a society deal with getting older? What does justice mean?
Big questions, yeah.
Second chances, all that.
And it's not just Florida, right? This is happening everywhere.
As the whole country ages, the prisons age too.
Makes sense.
And then we have to ask, like, what are we even trying to do with prisons?
Yeah, that's the core of it, isn't it?
Is it just punishment?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it also about rehab? Giving people a chance to get back on their feet, especially when they're older, maybe less likely to cause trouble.
Tough questions. Makes you really examine your own beliefs about crime and punishment.
So we talked about the good and bad of the Elderly Inmate Release Act, the whole reintegration thing.
The challenges.
Yeah, and the need for better prisons.
We covered a lot of ground.
But I want to leave our listeners with something to really chew on.
Okay, I like it.
Let's say this act actually passes.
Hypothetically.
What would we need out here in the community to help these people succeed?
That's the real test, right?
Not just survive, but actually thrive after being locked up for so long.
Imagine you're coming out after 20, 30, 40 years. The world's completely different.
Right. Everything's changed.
No job skills, maybe no family left, health problems.
So how do we help? As a community, what do we do?
It's on all of us then, right?
Not just the government.
No, it's community groups, churches, healthcare, employers.
Everyone pitching in.
It's like a safety net.
To catch them when they fall.
Yeah, and help them build a new life. We all benefit if they succeed.
This has been really eye-opening, you know?
It has.
We went deep on this proposed law, talked about the problems with prisons.
Aging prisons, especially.
And what it means for all of us.
Big picture stuff.
I hope everyone listening now gets how complicated this all is.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack.
We wanted to give you the facts.
The arguments.
The challenges. So you can join the conversation.
Exactly. We all need to be talking about this.
Thanks for coming along on this deep dive with us.
Appreciate you all listening.
Thank you for listening to Fight the Good Fight. Please join us by signing up on our website and help us financially by donating even $5 a month. It would be a tremendous help.